Last week was Easter, Resurrection Sunday. We talked about how because of the resurrection of Jesus, he is risen. All right, I want to make sure you know that's not only for Resurrection Sunday. We can continue to do that. Because Jesus was resurrected, we who believe and who have received him as our Lord and Savior, we have been resurrected. We've been justified. We have been resurrected. And we are being resurrected. He's sanctifying us. He's changing us day by day from glory to glory. And we will be resurrected. There's a day coming when we will be walking and living and breathing in resurrected bodies. And everyone here over the age of 40 said amen. Big amen, right? Amen. But it's easy to forget this, that we can live in the resurrection every single day. It's easy to forget. It's easy to allow the circumstances of life to cloud our vision and to deprive us of this victorious, resurrected life. Before we know it, we can find ourselves defeated, robbed, feeling hopeless, maybe even depressed, confused, lost, and walking the wrong direction. It happens very, very quickly. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah, it happens. I read a story of a weak and sickly man. He decided to give up. He was just hurting too much. I'm just going to give up, withdraw from society, and die. So he retreated to a remote cabin where he would sit on the porch and grow weaker by the day. He developed a serious cough, even to the point where he was spitting up blood. One night, the man had a dream. The dream was very clear. He was to push a huge boulder that was in his front yard. Do we have a picture of that guy's cabin? Okay, this really isn't his cabin, but I found this on the internet. I Googled, right? And I looked for a cabin with a big boulder in front of it. So give us a little visual, right? And if I was as clever as Jeremy, I'd have arrows, you know, and all this other stuff and power radiating from it. Anyway, So this guy had a dream, this old sickly man given up. He had a dream, and in the dream, he was told to push this boulder that's in his front yard for 6 hours a day. Jesus was the one who gave him this command in his dream. Three times, Jesus said to this guy, he spoke clearly, he said, push the rock. He said, push that rock every day. Push that rock with all your strength and might. And so the man awakened with a clear purpose. He was going to get up. So he got up, he ate his breakfast, he went out into the front yard, and he began to push that boulder with all of his might. Every day, rain or shine, the man was faithful to spend those hours pushing against the huge boulder. He looked at the huge boulder that he'd been pushing all spring and all summer, and he pondered in his heart, and he said to himself, I wonder how many feet I pushed this stone. So he decided to measure. He was going to find out. So from that day, he started to measure. But he was brokenhearted because he realized after measuring and measuring and measuring that he hadn't even pushed that boulder 1/1000th of an inch. It hadn't moved a bit. So the man decided not to push any longer. Believing he had pushed in vain, he gave up. You guys starting to apply this to your life already? You know, thinking he'd pushed in vain, nothing was moving, nothing was, he gave up. One day Jesus appeared on his porch. Now that would be exciting, wouldn't it? He showed up on the guy's porch and he asked the guy, how are you feeling? The man said, well, I'm feeling wonderful actually. And then Jesus asked about his eating and the man's appetite had grown. Jesus then reminded the man of the terrible cough and the blood that he was spitting up. And the man got to thinking, he said, he hadn't coughed for months. Been a long time. Jesus told the man then, hey, go look in the mirror. So the man stepped in front of the mirror. He was once a weak and sickly man. Now he was strong, muscular. He stood straight up like an arrow. The man was amazed. He was shocked. And Jesus said, listen, I never asked you to move the rock. I asked you to push against the rock. And while you pushed against that obstacle, I changed you. While you pushed against that obstacle, I stretched you. I even healed you. I made you strong. So the lesson is, don't quit. God knows what he's doing. And he's working all things out for good in our lives as we follow him. Turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke chapter 24, Jesus has some lessons from the road. That's the title of today's message, the week after Easter. Lessons from the road. Get my fancy little title slide right up here. All right. I spent a lot of time on this. So y'all like that title slide? Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Lessons from the road. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now that same day, what day is it? That's the day that Jesus was resurrected. That same day that Jesus was resurrected, two followers of Jesus, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with each other. And as they did, Jesus himself, the resurrected Jesus in his resurrected body, he came up and he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. So I want to get our bearings. So the long-awaited Messiah, the one whom the prophets had spoken of, he'd shown up. He was raised from the dead, and he showed up walking with these guys, but they couldn't see him. And they didn't understand. And I believe that happens in our lives too. The Lord will be right there with us. And we can't see him. And we don't understand why. These guys were preoccupied with what they thought reality was. Before we get too surprised about these guys not seeing him, let's be honest. Anybody, have you found yourself in that situation? Yeah, we all do. We don't recognize what God is doing. We don't see the whole picture. Scripture says this about that condition. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. It says that now we see things imperfectly. Now the Apostle Paul is writing to believers here. Not unbelievers, he's writing to the church. And he says to them, now we see things right now in this condition that we're in today, in these physical bodies, in this situation, we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, when Christ returns and we're in our resurrected bodies, the time of glorification, but then we will see things with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. This is the Apostle Paul saying this. Come on. The Apostle Paul is saying, all that I know right now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So I have some questions for us before we continue on the road, and that is this. Are you okay admitting that you don't see everything clearly right now? Are you okay with that? The Apostle Paul was. Are you okay admitting you don't see everything clearly? Are you okay admitting that you don't know everything? That you don't know everything. See, when we convince ourselves that we have perfect vision and understanding of God, and that our doctrine is complete, and that we have the corner on truth, we've just set ourselves up for missing God. I'm telling you, you have. If you think you got God all figured out, that you've got him all wrapped up in a bow, you're missing him, I guarantee it, right now. You're missing him. How can we fully know the uncontainable one? The omnipotent one, the all-powerful one. How can we fully know him right now? Paul says, we don't. We know him partially. But let me say this, we have the joy for all eternity to continue to get to know him more and more, more and more. But when we think we've got him all figured out, and we live life like we've got him all figured out, we've allowed our limited understanding and our limited perspective to rip us off. You're getting ripped off if you think you got them all figured out. If we think we have a corner on truth, we're about to miss God. I love 1 Peter 5:5, and I love it because it wakes us up. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In other words, let's put it this way. God opposes those people who think that they're all that, and they got them all figured out. He's like, you guys don't even know, and you're not even seeking me anymore, and you're so closed off to me, and you're so proud in your intellect and what you think you know about me. You know, you're missing me. But those who are humble, those who are desperate, those who are still seeking my face, those who understand that I am forever and ever the omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing one. Hey, I want to share this with you. There's something that I think is great about God, is that he's God and no one else and nothing else is. I think that's great about God. Okay, I think that's wonderful. And no one will ever be God. He is God and there is no other forever and ever and ever. So if God, check this out. I'm just going right now off on some things, okay? So this is like seeing things, you know, dimly and imperfectly. This is me being imperfect but being excited about God. Because this, check this out. If God is uncontainable and is huge and there's no one, he's limitless. Everyone else will always be limitless. Even in our resurrected bodies, we'll be limitless. You know, contrary to what maybe our neighbors say, we will not be gods, right? We will not be limitless, right? We won't have our own planets. That's not it. We will spend eternity with Jesus on the new earth. New earth, with everything made new, with him in our resurrected bodies, he in his resurrected bodies. Wow, glorious, unbelievable. But God is still God, and he's still limitless. And I believe this is just my imperfect processing. I believe for all eternity, we're going to be wowed by God. For all eternity, we're going to like come around the corner one day, you know, 2,053 years from now, we're going to go, whoa! I just saw something about God I've never seen before. He's still blowing my mind and getting me excited that I get to be around this guy. Wow. So, we see through a glass dimly, imperfectly, and we need to be humble enough to admit that. So these two guys, they were walking along the road to Emmaus. They were going the wrong direction. See, when we make wrong judgments about God and about what God is doing and what he's up to, we can easily go the wrong direction. These guys were going the wrong direction. They were walking away from Jerusalem. They were walking to a place 7 miles away, the opposite direction called Emmaus, right? And they were walking away from the very place that Jesus would reveal himself to his disciples. Now, these guys have been following him. They were walking away from what they've been dreaming of. They're walking away from it. They're walking away from the very place in Jerusalem where the Holy Spirit was about to show up, blow the doors and windows off of that upper room and release a new baptism of fire, of power over the church. They were walking away from that. They didn't even know it because they were processing things based on their own understanding. They were walking the wrong direction. But here's the good news. They were going the wrong direction, but grace tracked them down. And grace will track us down. Even when we're going the wrong direction, grace is going to still track us down. And that's lesson number one from the road. If we're in Christ, if we're following him, even if we start thinking wrong, grace is still going to come after us. You mean God is going to show up and track me down even when I'm going the wrong direction, even if I'm in the wrong place, even if I'm believing the wrong news? Yes, yes, and yes. God tracks down his children. The prodigal son story, right? The leave the 99 to go after the one. Now, let me say this. Just because I'm going to just make sure, I don't have this in my notes, but I just want to make sure. Just because he'll track you down, don't test him and walk away. You know what I'm saying? Don't be doing that. Because, you know, the 99 still want him right there with him, not having to go run after you because you're being silly and all that kind of stuff. If you know better, don't walk away, right? But if we do, he tracks us down. So in 1995 and 96, there was a senior in high school, a young follower of Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, who lost his bearings. He started allowing the trappings of popularity, the desire to be running with a cool crowd, to cloud his vision. And so he started taking a different path. He started walking a different direction than what he'd been walking. He walked into sin, far from God and God's plans and purposes. But God wouldn't let this young man continue in that direction forever. The Holy Spirit brought conviction to this young man. He made this young man's sin miserable, conflicted in his head, couldn't sleep at night. It was pleasurable, his sin was, for a moment, but as soon as he put his head on his pillow, he was brought back by the conviction of the Holy Spirit to who he really, really, really is. The Holy Spirit wouldn't relent until one day the young man woke up, saw clearly, and he finally turned back around. And that young man was me, actually. 1985 and 86, a senior in high school. I was going the wrong direction, but grace tracked me down. I can preach this right now. I've been where these two men, Cleopas and his buddy, going to Emmaus. I've been walking to Emmaus. I've been going the wrong direction in my life, but grace tracked me down. It wasn't anything that I did that woke me up out of my stupor of sin. It was just the grace of God and the persistence of the Holy Spirit on my life. Grace tracked me down, and grace will track you down too. And grace will track down your kids too. Keep praying for them. Grace will track us down. So wherever you've been, whatever direction you've been going, wherever you've been traveling, no matter how far you've drifted, maybe you're in this room right now and you're thinking, yeah, I've been going to a mess. I've been going the opposite direction. I haven't just been walking. I've been running into the opposite direction, into sin and away from God. It doesn't matter how far you've gone, how fast you've gotten there, or how deep you are into it. Jesus is here tracking you down right now. In fact, that's why you're here this morning. The Lord is speaking to you, saying, I know you, I love you, you haven't gone too far. Come on back to me this morning, right now. Come on back to the table. So no one is too far gone. I love what Isaiah 59:1 says. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. So no one is out of God's reach. No one. No one. Luke 24:17. So Jesus asked them, we're back on the road again, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas asked, I like to call him Cleo. Cleopas is kind of weird for us in America these days. So Cleo asked a question. He said, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, they asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word, powerful indeed before God and all the people. So they're telling Jesus about himself, right? That's kind of interesting. And so the chief priests, they're telling Jesus, the chief priests and other rulers handed him over to sentence him to death, and they crucified him. And I'm sure Jesus is like, oh yeah, I know, been there. Part of that. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, in other words, they're seeing impartially, they're not seeing clarity yet, they don't know yet. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place, verse 22. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. Okay, men, listen to women, okay? I don't know. These guys heard what the women said, that angels spoke to them and said that Jesus had risen from them, and they're still walking away from Jerusalem. Guys, come on. Listen to your wife a little more often. Might keep you from trouble, keep you from the wrong direction. So Jesus said to these guys, after they just educated him about what he just went through and everything, he said, how foolish you are. How would you like to hear that from the Lord? I hear that every once in a while, too, when I'm praying. I'm like, oh golly, Lord. How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he had to learn these boys something. He had to teach these boys a little bit of lesson. I know how to speak English. I'm just trying to talk Southern right there, right? So he explained back to Moses and all the prophets. He explained these two guys what's said in Scripture concerning the Messiah himself, Jesus, right? So these two guys thought it was too late for them. They said it was the third day. It's already happened. The third day happened, and he wasn't there. None of what the prophets said happened. They thought it was too late, but grace is right on time. That's lesson number two from the road. Grace is right on time. So grace will always track us down, and grace is right on time. These guys figured that Jesus was dead. Therefore, they thought that the dream was dead. They assumed that the promise had disappeared. Their hopes had literally been crushed and put into the ground. So they were walking away, but grace was right on time. And I believe the Lord wants to say to us that grace is right on time for us, too. Whatever we're going through, Maybe it's been a long time and you've been praying for a long, long, long time for that situation, for that pain, for that child to return to the Lord, for whatever it might be. The Lord wants you to know that grace is right on time. Don't give up. I just looked at Grace Klein, and she's like, you bet, I am right on time all the time. I'm very punctual. All right, whoop, got to get back to Scripture here. Jesus is right on time for you today. He's right on time for you today, right now. 2 Peter 3:9 reminds us that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. That includes you. But he wants you, he wants everyone to come to repentance, to turn back to him, to recognize that he is God and to come back into agreement with him. So he's right on time. But these men still had given up. Still had given up. But grace wouldn't let go. That's point number three. Grace will track us down. Grace is right on time, and grace won't let go. See, these guys even knew it was the third day. Isn't that crazy? And then they heard from the women what had happened. And they still think it's too late. And they still think that it's over. So they're going the wrong direction. They weren't willing to wait any longer. They wrote Jesus off. They let go of the promises. They'd given up. And so let's process this a little bit this morning. Maybe this is you right now. Maybe there are things that you've given up on. What have you given up on? Think about it. Process it. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of those things. What have you given up on? You don't have to shout it out. Don't worry. We don't have to get that personal right now. But I want you to think about those things. I believe the Lord wants you to think about those things too, because he wants you to trust him again with those things. He wants you to lay those things again at his feet, under his mighty hand, because grace won't let go. God won't let go. And he's a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. He always has been, and he always will be. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on that hope or that dream that he's planted inside of you just because the circumstances haven't worked out yet. Don't give up. Don't give up waiting for your miracle. There are those in the room right now that need a miracle. Don't give up. Don't write God off. Cleopas and his friend had given up, but grace wouldn't let go. He wouldn't let go. Jeremiah 29:11, God knows the plans that he has for us. He knows the plans. He hasn't forgotten about the plans that he has for you. He hasn't forgotten. For I know the plans I have for you. Sometimes we jump right to the plans and the hope and the future and all that stuff. But what I believe God wants you to really take to heart right now is God is saying to you, I know. I haven't forgotten. I know the plans I have for you. I know who you are. I know how I made you. I know how I wired you. And I know what I've set up for you. I haven't forgotten. God hasn't let go. Don't let go of him and his promise today. Grace hasn't expired, and it won't let go. We're going to jump right back to the road as we finish up here shortly. Luke 24, we're in verse 28 now. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going to go further. He's sneaky sometimes, right? He's like, I'm going to pretend I'm going to go a little bit further. Let's see how these guys act. Let's see if anything happens here, right? But these guys, they were getting interested because Jesus had just been preaching to them. How many of you know if Jesus showed up and started preaching to you, you'd probably get interested and wouldn't want him to stop, right? So they said, wait a minute. Jesus, stay here. They urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over, man. You might as well hang out with us. We're going to cook up some really good barbecue. You know, it's going to be awesome. And join us, right? So he went in to stay with these guys. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. I love this picture. This is what I was thinking about this week. I'm like, okay, these guys couldn't figure it out because Jesus is in his resurrected body. You know, most of the disciples had troubles recognizing him, but finally, whoo, their eyes were opened. I think that's a couple things. One is that when we get our resurrected bodies, we're going to look different enough that it's going to be hard for people to notice us because we're going to look so stinking good, okay? We're going to look so good that people are going to go, surely that's not Eric, but I'll look just enough like me. When you look close enough, you're going to go, that is Eric. God is a miracle-working God. Wow! That's amazing. So anyway, these guys were having troubles figuring out who Jesus was, that he was really Jesus right there in his resurrected body. But then Jesus, can you think about this? The way that he was breaking the bread, they'd seen him do this before. They were followers of Christ. They'd been with him when he's broken bread, when they celebrated Passover together. And he's breaking the bread, and in the way that he handed it to him, and probably the way that he caught his eye with their eye, and the way that he was looking deep into their soul as he's giving them the bread, and all of a sudden they're like, this is Jesus. No one else breaks bread like that. No one else looks into my eyes, into my life, the way that he does. This is Jesus. He wants to look into your eyes, and he wants you to look into his eyes even that way today. And every day he does. I mean, I don't know if you see this, but when I read the Bible, this is what I get. I mean, I don't just look at an event. I let myself encounter Christ. And I allow myself to say, wow, this is how much Jesus loves people. This is how much he loves me. I want to experience what these guys experienced. I want to look in the face of my Savior in that way, to where it's so evident that this is Jesus looking at me, that I am impacted to the core and broken in a good way. In a good way. So their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. Oh, gosh. I love it. Oh. So they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road? See, by the way, let me just go back to that so you don't think that Jesus is just going to like play with you like, ah, here I am, bye. No, that's not what he's saying. He had shown up, and he awakened them just enough for them to finally, you know, get their wits about them and go, okay, we're back. Jesus knew that they were back, and so he had to go back and take care of some other disciples at this point. So whoop, he's gone, right? So he's gone. So they asked themselves, were not our hearts burning within us while we talked with him on the road and opened the scripture to us? Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. You see, they got the message. This is Jesus. We're going back to where he told us to be. We're missing out on something. We better run. We've been walking away. We're going to run back, right? And so they're running back to Jerusalem. They returned at once. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. So finally, can you all say finally? Finally, they invited him in. Notice what made the difference. They invited him in. Now, they'd already been walking with Jesus. To me, this is a picture that we got to continue to invite him in to our lives. Invite him in to sit with him, to spend time with him, to engage with the living God. Finally, they invited him in. They urged Jesus to stay with them. Are you urging Jesus to stay with you? Are you crying out to him every day, saying, Jesus, the most important thing today is me walking with you, is me knowing you today, is me hearing your voice? Do you urge him to fill you every day, to lead you and to guide you every single day? When we urge him to be with us, he will show up, and boom, our eyes will be opened to some amazing things. They urged him. Thank you, Jesus. This is all new stuff to me. This is great. Anyway, he's just giving me stuff right now. I'm going long because they urged him. They urged him. They urged him. And he revealed himself to them. Grace will reveal himself. So it's no accident. I want to say this again. I say this almost every week. It's no accident that any of us are here today. It's no accident that you're here today. hearing the words of Christ, encountering his heart for you. You're here today because Jesus loves you. Because he wants to reveal himself to you. And maybe that'll be for the first time. Maybe that'll be like these guys, you've been walking away and he wants to show up again in your lives to kind of wake you back up so you run back into his arms and into his presence. Maybe you're walking, you're staying in Jerusalem, you're with the Lord, but he wants to draw you into such a place where you are urging him. You are in that place of desperation for him. He's the very breath that you breathe and long for every single day. Maybe that's where you're at today. It's no accident that you're hearing these words of Christ. He knows where you are. And he won't disappoint. He will show up. And he will reveal himself to you. Revelation 3:20. Words of Jesus. I just want you to hear these words right now. This is Jesus talking to you, even right now. And he's saying to you, here I am. I stand at the door of your life, the door of your heart, and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, and opens the door, says, come in, and urges me to stay, I will come and eat, and he with me.